Procrastinating, a term most often used by the millennial generation, is a method of putting something off, delaying, or postponing something by taking part in the act of baking.
Welcome to Procrastibaking, a place to talk about our baking obsessions and avoid doing everything else. Coming to you from Southern California, I'm Louisa.
And from Eastern North Carolina, I'm Rachel.
Hello, Rachel.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing well. I have a lot of life updates for you and also a little bit of baking, extracurricular baking updates.
Oh, well, that's exciting. Let's hear.
So let's start with the baking, extracurricular baking. So we just had Valentine's Day and Claudia really wanted to bake something to celebrate Valentine's Day. And so we decided to make cupcakes and they actually turned out really cute. I discovered a new frosting hack. So just to simplify things, I'm not usually a big fan of cake mix, but honestly, with a three-year-old, I was like, this is what we're going to do because I don't think I have the energy to do like a lengthy project. So we did cake mix, but we did milk instead of water. And we added pudding mix, which I know these are like hacks to up your cake mix game that we've talked about before. So the strawberry cake mix plus the strawberry pudding mix. So good. So lots of strawberry flavor. And for the frosting, I saw that someone on the baking Reddit had mentioned a hack where you do a 32 ounces of heavy whipping cream and of like and a 5 ounce box of pudding mix. So I picked up a vanilla pudding mix and you just whip that together and it makes a very stable frosting.
It's like a jar of buttercream.
I really liked it. Yeah, it was very like, it wasn't too sweet. It almost had like a Cool Whip kind of taste. I don't know if you like Cool Whip or not. I think that's kind of divisive. But I thought it was nice. It was very light and fresh and it was incredibly easy to pipe. I feel like, I'll have to send you pictures. I feel like my piping skills have never been better. And I think it's because of this frosting. It didn't separate and it was like just the right amount of firmness so that you could see the detail in the piping.
Nice.
So I'm a fan. I don't know that I would use it for everything, but for things like this, you know, quick little things, I think it's perfect. So that was cool to see that work out.
That is cool to know.
Yeah, it was neat. And then her job was, of course, to put the sprinkles on top. But she quit halfway. She decorated like four. So not even halfway.
And then did she just eat the rest of the sprinkles?
Like, sipping. Yeah, girl. She's like sipping them from the bowl. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know. I tried redirecting, but then I was just so tired. I was like, okay, happy Valentine's Day. Here's a bowl of sprinkles.
Day made.
So, yeah. So that was fun. And then we took some over to her friend Ava and she drew her a little Valentine's card, which was cute. So it was a good day. Yeah. And I think you're going to get a kick out of this. So my birthday is this weekend and I jokingly made a comment to Raul. I was like, you should make my birthday cake this year because I always make your birthday desserts. So you should make my birthday cake. And the look on his face was like, do you really want me to try this? But then he was like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make you something. So he settled on, we're not doing a cake. He's doing like a cookie cake. So it's still a cake, I guess, but just different. And, Claudia is supposed to help him. So tomorrow morning I'm going to the nail salon and they are going to bake my birthday cookie cake. So I cannot wait to hear how it goes. I think he's a little nervous because he has to include Claudia.
So. Oh yeah. Just give her some sprinkles.
I'm like, that's such a dad thing to do. He sees me like struggling to bake with her sometimes and he's just snapping away, taking pictures and look at all these cute memories. And I feel like now I'm gonna think, see, like to make all these beautiful memories, you put in a lot of effort. So it's his turn.
Well, that's good. I didn't know if you knew about it, so I didn't say anything, but he asked me about a cookie cake recipe.
Ooh, so this is like with your influence sprinkled in there. I like it. That's for the best. Have some guidance. And what else? That's pretty much it for the baking side of things. And then otherwise, I'm really excited about this weekend because we have a lot of plans. We're supposed to take the train from LA to Santa Barbara for the day.
Nice.
And yeah, it's supposed to be really cute. It's called the Pacific Surfliner, so you can see the coast from the train on your way down. And then it drops you off in Santa Barbara. So we're going to go to the zoo. And then we're supposed to pick up like sandwiches or something easy and then go sit on the beach and eat. And then we're taking the train back the same day, but just later that night.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And then that's Saturday. On Sunday, this was very like last minute, but my friend Sonia from college is going to be, she's going to be in San Diego with her husband and her baby. And so she messaged me and was like, I don't know if you're free, but if we can make it work, we're going to be in San Diego, which is not terribly far from us. So I was like, we'll come down for you. For you, I will drive to San Diego. And so we're going to see them and I think maybe go to the San Diego Zoo. So it's a very zoo-filled
weekend. Zoo happy. Your daughter's going to love
it. That's a lot of zoo. Yeah, you know her. Animals. And then we're staying the night with her. And then the next day I'm hoping to see my friend Suzanne, who also lives in San Diego. So I'm hoping to see her for like a brunch before we head back to town. But yeah, should be fun. Hopefully it doesn't rain.
Yeah. You got a lot of outside stuff going on.
A lot. So fingers crossed. Okay. So tell me life updates, baking updates.
So I did not meet my goal. A joke? Oh, you know what? I had a joke for you the other day and I forgot it. Oh, what was it? Oh. It'll come back to me. that's frustrating. I forgot I had a joke. Now I can't think of what the joke was. I was super excited to make bonbons for Valentine's Day. And yesterday was Valentine's Day and I haven't gotten to do it yet. So I'm behind on my... We're fun baking because I want to do it before it gets hot, right? In the Carolinas, that's going to be soon. We're humid, so maybe this weekend. I don't think we have anything planned, so maybe I'll get some time to do something with the chocolate. I have everything I need. I think I just need some time. I don't think too much has changed. I also don't think I did any extra baking. Because I had to go to, and I just managed to like make the things I was making for the podcast work for that. So
yeah. To be fair, you do a ton of extracurricular baking most of the year, like 10 out of 12 months of the year, I feel. So it all evens out. It's just, I know this time of year it's busy for you because you have a lot of extracurricular activities. So it makes it hard to have the time in the evening to bake after work. Yeah,
that's true. But they're going to calm down soon. So hopefully I'll get to pick up some baking.
That'll be good. I'm sure your joke was hilarious, by the way.
Thank you. Like, I appreciate that.
I'm sure it was punny. Was it punny? I think it must have been.
I think so. Yeah, I feel like it was. I wanted to tell you, though, I got two new cookbooks for my cookbook addiction. I don't know if you remember Liam from the Great British Bake Off. He now is one of the judges on the kids one. I think his last name is Charles. I think it's Liam Charles, maybe. But he has a book called Cheeky Treats. And I watched his TV show through Netflix or maybe Roku, one of those streaming services. And I really liked the stuff he made. So I bought his cookbook so that I could have the recipes. Because he made one really good, like, chocolate peanut butter cake, and that recipe's in there, so I'm going to be making that. For Christmas, I got a giant cookbook. It's like a coffee table-sized book called Patisserie at Home, and I think I showed you the picture of this one.
This is with the illustrations.
Yeah, they're kind of the Great British Bake Off style illustrations where it, like, points out the different elements. and it tells you like what techniques are used in that recipe, tricky points, and then it each recipe it has a component, and then you flip to that part of the book to make those components and then go back to the recipe to show you how to assemble everything.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So I'm excited. It's got a lot of stuff and there's some things that I hadn't heard of. So I'm excited to, because one of my goals, one of my ends this year was pastry. So I'm hoping that'll help me make some more pastries.
How many cookbooks does this make for you? Do you have a number
already? You know, I counted them and I don't remember. I feel like it's right at 100.
You know what I think you need is like from Beauty and the Beast, that wall to like floor to ceiling library, but yours is just going to be filled with cookbooks. We need to like build that into your house somehow. It's a yes. request for Mike. I don't know if he knows how to build stuff like that.
Secret door.
He'll have to learn.
It's a requirement now. Movies encourage our imaginations and delight our senses. Some special movies also tickle our taste buds. When that happens, we can't help but try to recreate the desserts they featured. Today's movie selection is My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Is that the name of the movie?
Yes, My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
As I was reading it, I was like, are these adjectives in the right order? Okay. I've never seen this movie all the way through. I've seen like bits and pieces of it when it comes on TV. And I Googled like images and memes of this cake so that I knew what we were talking about. But I've never actually seen the movie all the way through.
The movie is, I think it's one of my favorite movies. It is such a good, you know, like put it on in the background while you're doing some. It's like a comfort movie. And I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, I think maybe in a different life, could I have been Greek? I just feel like it's such a fun culture. And it's a lot of similarities to like Hispanic culture, I think. Mm. Just showing love through food and cooking and big, loud families. And so, yeah, I just really love watching it. And the bundt cake scene cracks me up so much. So I'm sure a lot of people have seen it, but for context, Tula and gosh, what's her husband's name? Tula is like the main character that we follow. Ian is her fiance. So they get engaged and he's being introduced to the family. And then after he's introduced, his parents are getting introduced to Tula's family. And so they're invited to like this big party and her entire family's there. And the parents are like, so they feel like so out of place and they're overwhelmed. And the mom has made a bundt cake to give to them. But her mom has never seen a bundt cake and had no idea what it was. And so they have this super funny exchange where I think her name is Harriet, Ian's mom, is trying to like offer this bundt cake. And she's like trying to pronounce it, like enunciate how to say it. And
Tula's mom see that just clip. Like, yes.
What on earth? So that was kind of fun. We got to kind of picture what did we think Harriet put in her bundt cake. And then at some point later on, I think Tula's mom puts like a flower pot in the middle.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, she doesn't like that there's a hole in the middle.
So this was fun to kind of be a little creative. So I made kind of like a, I don't want to say like a baklava spinoff because there was no phyllo, but ooh. I kept ingredients of that because I thought maybe Harriet would try to incorporate some of those flavors in her bundt cake as like a way to bridge the two families, right? So, and I'm pretty sure they call her Harry in the movie, which is also funny. So I made a pistachio bundt cake with like a honey glaze on top.
That sounds very fancy.
Yeah, it was fun. It was so good. I did like a definite Franken. This was a Franken bake because I pulled from two different cake recipes. I think I used a vanilla cake recipe from a website that I have used for other things, Live Well, Bake Often. So I used her cake recipe, but I added elements that I got from an All Recipes recipe and blended the two. And then I used your hack with the bundt pan because I have a problem with it sticking to those pans that are ridged like that. But your hack was like heavily buttered.
Did it work?
And then sprinkle white sugar. It worked perfect. That's like the best like release I've had from the bundt pan. So that's my go-to. I think that works better than like, what else have I done? Like butter and flour. Yes. I have used like butter and cocoa powder when I've made chocolate cakes, and that works okay. But for this, this was perfect. It worked perfect. No sticking for me.
Yay.
And what else? And so it was topped with like chopped pistachios. And then, yeah, I made like a, it's almost like a syrup with honey in there. And I had to tweak it. I had to put more honey in there to get the honey flavor. And that went on top. And it was so good. I love pistachio. I feel like it's so underrated.
So good. I agree. There's not enough pistachio that's not pistachio pudding mix pistachio.
Yes. And the flavor was great. It had like ground pistachios in the batter. So it was just like a lot of boost of pistachio flavor. And it was definitely one of those cakes that tasted better as the days went on. So I think like day two, I was like, I could eat the entire all of this that's left. It's so good. I feel like the flavors came out a little bit more each day. So success. I think if Harriet had brought that, it would have been, I mean, if they had eaten it and not used it as a plant, like a vase, they would have enjoyed it. So it was good.
That sounds appropriate for a wedding. Very elevated and fancy.
Right. Well, I feel like in the movie, it's just like a get together. I don't even think it was the wedding, but.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it was like a party.
It probably felt like a wedding, though, because it had the amount of people you would have at a wedding. Very elaborate. Okay, so what was in your bundt cake?
So I debated for a little bit. I kind of wanted to make a lemon one, and I knew there was a recipe in Midwest Made. And I was like, that would give me another chance to like use that book. I really like that book. But I also knew that I have had this cookbook, Magnolia Table by Joanna Gaines. I've made some of her savory stuff, but I don't think I've baked out of it yet. And I knew she had one. So I debated for a while, but I settled on Joanna Gaines because Midwest Made had cake flour in it and Joanna's did not.
Do you do like the swap for, because I often don't have cake flour, but I do that conversion using all purpose.
I have done that before and I kind of want to test it and do like two back to back and see
if you can tell the difference.
If it works as good.
I do that conversion all the time and I'm pretty sure I did it for this one. And I think it worked because you're supposed to, with cake flour, you're supposed to get like a lighter product.
Okay. Yeah, I was right. This one did not have cake flour. It's all-purpose flour, and Midwest Made had cake flour, and I had cake flour, but I'm like, it was in the freezer, and I was like, I don't want to dig through the freezer to find the cake flour. and also, her picture is really pretty. I looked at the picture of the bundt cake, and she didn't, like, ice it or anything, but it was brown, and this one is very brown, and I'm like, I'm surprised that the lemon cake is brown. But she also had a really, her glaze turned out nicer than mine. Now that I'm looking at this picture again, her glaze is really thick. I think mine was too thin. She's got a really thick glaze on it. So the way I feel about this cake, so I really don't like bundt cakes because a lot of times they're like pound cakes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're really dense. And, I made this cake at night, took it out, let it cool. In the morning, I glazed it and cut a slice and had it for breakfast. Nutritious breakfast. It's got lemon in it. That's your fruit.
I would do that all the time. Cake for breakfast.
Right? And I was like, oh, this is so light. And so I was really happy with it. And I liked the tang. The lemon glaze was tangy. Because instead of using like milk in your glaze, you'd use the lemon juice.
Very nice.
I took it to work and it got rave reviews. But someone said to me, I love how dense it is. Maybe it's me. Maybe I've got like that sensation mixed up. Like maybe I like really dense cakes, but I don't realize it. Like maybe I've got the terminology and the sensation like flipped.
You have like flavor confusion or something.
Yeah, she's like, it's a really good pound cake, and like she like raved about it because her mom normally makes them for our office, and she was telling people like it's good. Like you should have some. I was like, oh, that it's like,
wow, that's a big compliment.
And it was gone like in a day, 2 days maybe. But yeah, it just made me wonder, like, is it a pound cake? Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't think it was.
I hear what you're saying, though. I think just to have the structure, right, to hold, you would need a denser cake.
But... denser cake, yeah. But I was like, this is the lightest butt cake I've ever had, was my thought, yeah.
But maybe it had more moisture than, like, pound cake.
It had buttermilk.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like mine had structure, but it didn't taste too dense. But yeah, I don't know. I think you might need to just open your heart to pound cake and see.
Right?
And see what comes of it.
Maybe it's that I don't like vanilla pancake. Maybe there's just not enough
flavor. Maybe, because it sounds like the flavor in this one was really boosted. So that was the highlight. And I'm glad to hear you liked that book. I feel like I hear so much about Magnolia, and it kind of felt overhyped to me. So I really never had much interest. But I'm glad to hear that you had success with a recipe from that book.
Yeah. And there's a lot of good looking stuff in here, you know, because she has several ethnicities in her family. I think her husband has a different one. So there's like fusion dishes in here that celebrates all the different cultures that come together in their family. So that's really
that's
cool.
That's lovely.
There's a lot of good looking stuff. That. Yeah.
That's cool. This season, we thought we'd channel the greats, Sue, Mel, Noel, Sandy, Matt, and Allison. Do these names sound familiar? They should. They have all been hosts on our beloved GBBO. And today we're going to dive into weeks 4 and 5 of the most recent GBBO season. Okay, so let's talk. We covered chocolate week and pastry week.
Pastry. Yes.
And it was eventful. Chocolate week was so stressful to watch, knowing how hot it is in that tent.
It always is so stressful.
It's like everything's melting. Poor Tasha had to be like excused because she overheated. And because of that, nobody went home. Although I think it was pretty obvious who would have gone home if they had voted someone out. But no one went home. And yeah, it was just a lot. It's working with chocolate. I still feel not completely confident because you have to control many factors, you know, and that is not like the best controlled environment to work with it in. But I feel like what was most interesting about that episode was the showstopper challenge,
where they the boxes.
I feel like I'm trying to remember whose I really liked. Oh, I feel like Christie's looked really pretty, like very girly. But I know she had some problems with the white chocolate. Like there was like a mold she was using, and the chocolate work the first time.
First time she had to redo it, I think. That's right. I liked Dan's treasure chest. He made like a pirate chest with little treasures.
Oh, that's right. Dan is like a standout.
Yeah, I think so too. And then who made the one with the flowers?
I feel like, I don't know if this is the one, going back to Christy. I don't know if this is the one where she won like Star Baker, but.
I think Maddie was Star Baker.
Oh, Maddie was Star Baker. Mm-hmm. I forget. She won Star Baker in one of them. Was it Pastry Week? I don't know. But I like almost cried because when she won, she was so cute. She was like tearing up, and she was just talking about how like when you're a mom, everything is for everyone else. And so this was like her thing to
kind of have for herself.
I hope I'm not like jumping ahead to other episodes because that means I would have spoiled it. So I can't remember what episode this was from. But I was like tearing up. I was like, oh, you're so right. I feel that way sometimes about baking too. It's like you're just hopping around being so many things for different people, but that is your time to yourself to just like explore and do whatever you want. And so I thought that was really sweet. I love Rowan, but he's been such a hot mess.
And he didn't just because it was like finals week or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And don't take this the wrong way, but sometimes he reminds me of you because he's like very brave.
Yes.
He's very brave and kind of like, this could work or this could not.
He doesn't have the skills to make it work.
No, it's not that. It's more just like he's at peace with it. Like, we're just going to work before, but we don't know if it's going to work now, but we're just going to do it. And it is what it is. So I was like, oh, that kind of reminds me of Rachel a little bit. You're like very brave thinking sometimes. So I think that's why. Let's see what else. I feel like I need to take better notes because I watch them and then I forget everything that I wanted to say.
Well, so no one went home, right? So they all got another chance to fight another day, which means two people went home in the next one.
Yeah, Rowan and Nikki went home, right?
Yeah, and you know what? I think it was fair, but it was sad. Like, I like both of them, maybe because I am Rowan. I don't know. And I liked Nikki. She was funny, and her accent was fun to listen to. But I think that was a fair call. I think they were the lowest that week for sure.
Yeah, I agree. I just feel like they weren't super consistent.
And poor Saku, she had a Rachel moment. She dropped her pie.
I love Saku. She's so funny.
I like Saku. And, you know, a lot of seasons they make these, and it's a very British thing, I think. I don't know that we have them here. The picnic pie, it's like a savory pie with a hot water crust. Like, I've never had one of those.
Right, the hot water crust, yeah.
They put, like, some of them put curry, some of them put fish, and it's like, I don't even remember having one when I was in Scotland. Like, I had, like, you know, like a pot pie. Like a beef pot pie or something. But other than that, I didn't have anything like that. So yeah. I kind of want to make it so I can try it. But at the same time, I'm like, the flavors that go in a lot of these are very British flavors. So I'm not sure if I like them.
Make it like a curry based. I think that's
your safe. That could work.
You'd probably like that. Okay, talking about Saku, I had made a note about this. At some point, she makes a pineapple cherry rum pie. And that was like all these beautiful words put together. I want to make a pie with those flavors. Doesn't that sound good? Pineapple and cherry.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, that sounds like the perfect mix. So yeah, these were both very stressful episodes. I do feel like, though, I don't know if you feel this way, compared to previous seasons, I do feel like the cast is maybe less memorable. I don't know.
Yes. I have a hard time picking like a favorite, like, you know, Saku I like, Nikki I like, but nobody really stands out yet, and it's 5 weeks in. You would think we'd start to have some more people standing out.
Yeah, I agree. I like Tasha a lot, but she's not consistent. I love Saku, but she's not consistent. I feel like Christy is a standout for me, but again, she's not always consistent either. Her stuff always looks really pretty, but
yeah, like in Chocolate Week, she didn't have a good go.
No,
yeah.
But I'm kind of shocked, like, Maddie is still there.
Still there?
I feel mean saying that. Yeah.
I think he is too.
I think, I guess it's because of his, because he seems surprised that he's still there. And he's kind of, like, goofy and sometimes doesn't seem sure. Was it Maddie that didn't, like, laminate the dough? I feel there was someone who didn't laminate, like, audibly gasped. I was like, you're just going to. Okay, that's a
choice.
I can't. I think it might have been him, but yeah. Okay, so based on where we're at right now, who do you think will go to the semifinals or?
So what is that? Four people or three people?
Three people, I think.
I think
Josh.
Saku. I think she'll pull off enough.
I think Tasha might go. I don't know.
Tasha, yeah.
Tasha has gotten a couple of handshakes.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Tasha, Josh, Saku, and maybe like a mystery or a wild card.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. I think, is it Dan?
Dan, maybe. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I don't know. That's the thing. I feel like it was easier to pinpoint who you thought was going to make it in previous seasons, but
yeah,
who knows? We'll see. I do love Allison, though. She is such a fun addition. Yeah. I feel like we talked about this last time. I don't know. It's like a good balance between her and Noel. It's great. So I really love her.
Yes.
I love
her. They work together really well. I feel like they found a sweet spot with their host this year.
I was like reading about her on Wikipedia, and apparently she was on like the, I guess, the British version of Big Brother. I don't know. Something like that.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Louisa, where has all the rum gone? Into our base. We add some booze. I was waiting. I was like, she's going to laugh. And I'm like, oh, she's not going to laugh. I'll go ahead. We add some booze to our bakes this season. This segment, we have a spirit I love to add to my hot chocolate, and it is brandy.
Brandy.
So I really enjoyed this one. I ended up using apple brandy, and I think you did too.
Yeah, I mean, I used regular brandy, but I cooked it with apples.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Which is such a nice pairing. Yeah, okay, you talk about yours first, and then I'll chime in.
So I think we both made apple desserts. I struggled at first with this. I was like, what goes, like, because you don't hear about brandy cake like you do rum cake. Apparently there is, though. There's an old-fashioned brandy cake. So I debated making that. I debated making a single serving of Cherry's Jubilee, and I was slightly worried I would set my house on fire, so I didn't do that. But I was like, one morning I had these cherries. I was making French toast. I was like, I should totally make Cherry's Jubilee and pour it over my French toast. And I kept Googling like desserts with brandy, and I couldn't find much. And Sacre Torte kept coming up, and when I looked at the recipe, it didn't have brandy in it. And I was like,
that's so weird.
Coming up. So I finally was like, you know what? I ignored the internet. Like, what do I think would be good with brandy? And I remembered that my parents had given me this apple brandy. So I was like, oh yeah, apple brandy, apples. And I really love, and I don't see it a lot like at restaurants. I like the apple custard pie. So I decided that I would make that. And I found a recipe. And I found two recipes, one that used the brandy and one that didn't. And I kind of liked the, or used it but didn't use as much. So I kind of liked the one that didn't use it as much better. So I just adjusted the amount of brandy and just upped it in that recipe.
Okay.
And I ended up making the tart shell from the cranberry / cherry tart we made before. And then it has you mix apricot jam with brandy and microwave it. And then you spread that all over the bottom of the tart before you add the filling. And that really makes a difference, I think. That was a big flavor boost.
Okay.
And you could smell that too. Probably like your apples and brandy cooking.
Yeah.
And then it was just Granny Smith apples and custard that you pour on top and bake it. And it was so good.
That sounds really good.
So good. Because there was brandy in the apricots. There was brandy in the custard. And it was like a tiny bit of brandy, like a teaspoon or so, in with the apples, like when you melt the butter and stuff like that. So there was like brandy in every component. There was cinnamon and cardamom in the crust and in the apples. And
lovely.
Yeah, it was really good.
Did you already mention this, but the crust that you used was the same one you used for the tart, right? Is that right?
It was, yeah. And I just subbed out the walnuts for the almonds, which I thought would go good with the apple.
It is. That's what I did the first time around. And I think I forgot to mention it when we talked about it, but I don't really like walnuts. So I had almonds already ground and I just used those. Really good. I love the sound of that. I like that you found another fruit that pairs with brandy other than apples, because I feel like that was the most popular one that would
It was mostly apple. It just had a little bit of the apricot, but I don't even know that you could taste the apricot. I think it just boosted the brandy flavor and like the general like fruitiness.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really there for flavor, just for.
Yeah. Just kind of like you add coffee to your chocolate cake kind of thing, I think.
Yeah. Gotcha. Very nice.
I saw a picture of yours and it was gorgeous. Like a perfect breakfast.
Well, Thanks. I did eat it for breakfast several days after. So I made like the, we've talked about this before, the cream cheese and guava puff pastry.
Yes.
And they're called pastelitos in Spanish. And I wanted to do a spin off of that. So I did use store-bought puff pastry because I'm not about to make puff pastry or rum puff. And I did do apple with the brandy, just like cooking the brandy and the apple. It's just like a really nice pairing. When I was like cooking the apples in the mixture, which had like spices in it too, along with the butter, I was like, I could just sit and eat this with a spoon on its own, like with some vanilla ice cream. It was so good. And so once I cooked that, I just put it in the puff pastry and I added Gouda cheese because I like an apple and a cheese pairing. There's like a salad that we make that I think I've talked about. It's like apple and manchego. And that always goes really well together. So I opted for Gouda because I thought that would be a nice flavor pairing. But then Raul mentioned to me that he thought that the Gouda kind of got lost, that he thinks I should have used a stronger cheese. So that would probably be the only thing that I would change for next time is maybe find a different kind of cheese to complement. But they were really yummy. They were just like little apple hand pies. And the brandy flavor was consistently still there after it was baked. So they were good. I enjoyed them. I would make them again.
Yeah, I think we were both really happy with our brandy bakes.
Who knew? Booze and bakes would be successful.
Right?
The answer. We're kind of going against that baking trend we saw that said that. No, wait, that was a... No, it said
mocktail. It was like a mocktail. Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing in the drinks because everything is in the desserts. At least for us.
Right.
Baking is always a little unpredictable. It's time to mix things up and roll the dice. So, Rachel, remind us, what are our options?
So, for flavors, we have chocolate, fruit, cheese, mint, spice, and nuts. That was the missing one we didn't think of earlier.
Yeah, we have been having difficulty. Well, the dice are gone. And neither one of us can remember.
There's a dice taker.
Ooh.
And then our other one has forms, and we've got cheesecake, cake, bread, pie, and then cold or frozen dessert.
With a miscellaneous.
With a miscellaneous mystery box. We'll have to go back and listen to an episode so we can figure out what the other one is. Okay. So I've turned them all upside down in little pieces. And here, I put them in, I can't see what they are, but I put them in like a pile of 1 through 5. So
this is like the bootleg version.
Remember, 1 through 5.
Okay, so we'll do two.
Two. You got cheese. Okay.
Cheese, okay.
And pick another number. It can be two again because it's two different stacks.
Let's do 4.
2 and 4. So 4 is pie.
Cheese and pie. Okay.
Cheese and pie. That could be interesting.
Can do. Yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff you can do with them.
I'm tempted to just make like a layered pie with all these different kinds of cheese, like a lasagna, but without the meat.
I am a little terrified, but I think you should do it because I'm curious about what
you're the brave one.
Yeah, you're the Rowan of this pairing, so. Okay. I guess we could make a savory one, right? Didn't think about that.
Yeah, that's a good point. We can make lasagna pie.
There you go. Thank you for listening to this batch of Procrastibaking. We hope we've provided some food for thought for your next Procrastibaking project. As always, the links and photos discussed in this episode can be found in our show notes. Procrastibake with us on Facebook and Instagram while you wait for our next episode to rise.
We will release new episodes first and third Fridays on your favorite platform. Tune in to our next episode to hear what we baked up with cheese and learn about alternative baking. Until next time,
stay sweet.
This has been Procrastibaking. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts and leave a good review. You can also subscribe to us on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and many more. You can also subscribe to our RSS feed directly from our website at procrastibakingpodcast.com. Also, feel free to follow us and give us your feedback on social media on Instagram at procrastibakingpodcast and Facebook at facebook.com/procrastibakingpodcast. Procrastibaking is hosted and created by Rachel Rhodes and Luisa Gonzalez, produced and edited by Raul Ceballos, theme music by Alex Walker-Smith, and show artwork by Rob Demers.